In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You are good people who live good lives. So you should be thankful to God that he has kept your hands from murder, from adultery, from theft, and from making the nighttime news. This, of course, is your life of sanctification. It is a gift from God. He has given you something to do while you live on this earth. He has given you meaning and purpose for your life here, right now. And when he sees fit, when he determines that your task on earth is completed, then he will safely bring you home. It may be at 5 years, it may be at 95 years. Either way, God's will be done. You live in his hand, and you live by his word. And so be faithful to him. Right now, he uses you to care for your siblings, or your parents, or your children, or your spouse, your neighbors, your friends, your house, your little plot of earth. He could use someone else to accomplish the same tasks, but he did not choose someone else, he chose you. He chose you to be an ear for your friend, a hug for your child, and a presence for your loved one. He chose you to care for this congregation, both the building and for the people who gather here. He chose you not because you have a unique set of skills and talents, you don't, but he chose you by grace and by grace alone. You are a blessing, for he has worked through you to bless others. I've heard many of your stories and I've seen your kindness. And I thank God daily for you. So be thankful that he has kept your lives busy with good works, whether it be at work, yard work, housework, your job, or simply building relationships. You abound in love and kindness and generosity and wisdom. You desire to keep the word of God and to flee from sin. You are quite capable in this life. But that does not merit the next. Your generosity, kindness, and goodness does not secure a place before God in heaven. God is not a respecter of persons. I suppose your outward life looks more like the Pharisee than the tax collector. But that does not mean heaven is yours. For many unbelievers excel in goodness, kindness, love, patience. But their works do not earn them heaven. And neither do yours. God be praised for what he has done for you. God be praised for the good that you carry out on a daily basis. But do not try to hold it up before God and expect something from him. A lifetime of kindness cannot offset even one single second of worry, of lust, of greed, of discontentment, of anger, or irritation. So be on your guard. For the thoughts of the Pharisee can easily bounce around in your head. You are good people, and you excel in godliness. And so it can be tempting to focus only on those things that we see. And when we look at our lives, we perhaps see far more good works than we do sin. The Pharisee showed up at the temple at the time of prayer. And the time of prayer was also the time of the daily sacrifice. So as that sacrifice is being offered to God, promising of a greater sacrifice, the Pharisee could only talk about himself. Watch out lest you fall into the same thinking. That because you do not see many great or horrific sins in your life, that you show up here and ignore the sacrifice of the cross to focus on yourself, how you must live, what you must do, or how you can progress and get better in your life. None of that will help you in the judgment. Hell will be filled with a lot of good people, a lot of kind, generous, give you the shirt off their back people. For no one will be justified by works, not you, not your children, not your parents, not your friends, no one. And by God's grace, you confess just that. You may not feel guilty, but you confess that doesn't mean you are innocent. You may not see many great horrific sins in your life, but you still confess that you are a sinner. You believe God's word is the standard, not your feelings, not what you see, but the word of God is your standard, and God himself is the judge who pierces even into your heart. And he will judge you not based on what you see, but based on what he sees. The tax collector's confession that he was a sinner did not come from his personal experience. We are not told, but he may have been an honest man. The reason that he is a tax collector is because the Jews of that day looked down on tax collectors for their profession. They were considered the outcasts of society. Whether they sinned or not was irrelevant. Their job made them unclean in their eyes. But even if this man was a dishonest man, his confession still did not come from his feelings. Rather, that confession came from the word of God. So also, your confession that you are a sinner in whom there is nothing good does not come from what you see or from how you feel, but it comes solely from the word of God. Faith believes that word. What it says about you is true, whether you feel like it or not, whether you see it or not. Though you have done much good and continue to abound in good works, the word of God tells you that man is justified by faith alone, apart from works, and you believe it. You believe salvation is a free gift of God, regardless of your works, so that you or no one else can boast. And that is why you take the words of the tax collector and make them your own. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner in whom there is no light but only darkness, a sinner who has strayed from your commands and turned from your paths in ways that I do not even know, a sinner who has loved my life on earth more than life in heaven with you, who has loved myself more than you, my family more than my dear father. And as you pause for silent reflection, perhaps you cannot think of any serious sins you have committed. And yet you are well aware that it is far grievous enough to simply meditate on your own fallen flesh. That fallen flesh is the root cause of every sin that you commit, every disaster that enters this world. And you rightly forget the good you have done, the patient love you have shown, the kindness you have given, because the word of God declares that you are a sinner, and faith simply repeats back to God what he has said. You're not trying to beat yourself up or somehow make yourself feel guilty, but you are confessing Christ. You are confessing the word of God, living in that word. And so you are remembering the very reason why you have come here in the first place. God must show you mercy. Like the Pharisee, or unlike the Pharisee, you have not forgotten the sacrifice. He must cover over your sins with the blood of that sacrifice. Christ's work must be central. His cross must always be before your eyes. He must redeem you. He must restore you. He must rescue you from the body of death and make you something utterly, completely different and new. He must declare you justified and make you righteous. He must do everything for you. And he has. And he still does. Thus you are righteous before God. For this righteousness is the righteousness of Christ, not of your own. Because of Christ's life, you are holy. Because of his death, you stand innocent before God. This external righteousness flows from the cross to you, not from your works, but from the life and death of Jesus Christ to you. And in faith, you receive it. And so you also receive forgiveness, life, salvation, peace, hope, joy, and heaven itself. You are not trying to make yourself feel guilty when you confess your sin. So also, you are not trying to make yourself feel better by walking into this sanctuary. You come here to hear the words of God, to hear what Christ has done for you. And so you receive him in the words of absolution because only God can justify you. And you receive him into your mouth in the Holy Supper because only God can justify you. Only he can cover each spot, sin, and stain. God looks at you now and he sees not one steeped in sin, but he sees his beloved Son. And he is pleased. Like the Pharisee, you may abound in good works outwardly, but like the tax collector, you confess that all your righteous acts are nothing more than filthy rags. Not one can save you. You confess your sins and you receive his forgiveness, confident that he will be merciful to you, even as he has promised. He will not go back on his word, for God does not justify good people. God rather justifies sinners. So come, dear sinner. Come to the mercy of God found in Christ crucified. Forget all that you have done. It counts for nothing. Come and hear what he has done for you. Come with all your embarrassing, disgusting sins. Do not leave any at home, but bring them all. Come and eat the sacrifice that atones for every sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.